We're moving on then to another speaker under our medical practice session, and he is Dr. Arne Burkhardt, born in 1944 in Germany, a pathologist with more than 40 years diagnostic and teaching experience at the universities of Hamburg, Bern, and Tübingen. He is the author of more than 150 original publications in international journals, currently engaged in autopsy studies of persons dying after taking the COVID vaccine. And Dr. Burkhardt, before you deliver your talk to us, perhaps your thoughts first on why this conference on causation, bringing together multidisciplinary experts, is so important.
Well, first of all, I thank you very much for the invitation and the kind introduction that you gave about what I have done in the past. I think it's very, very important to have an international communication on this subject, because last year in May, April, I was confronted with relatives of persons who died after vaccination. And I tried to establish a national registry of these persons dying, and I tried to get autopsies done in these persons, but the national associations of pathology here didn't reply to this request by myself. So when relatives continued to ask me, where can I get some solution to this problem, finally I said, I can examine these organ probes that have been taken during autopsy, and we can try to get some other pathologists. And maybe I can show my first slide now, because if we talk about morphology, about pathology, it's not possible without looking at pictures and slides of tissues and cells.
Professor Burkhardt's topic is autopsies, evidence for jab-related harm and death. Dr. Burkhardt, you have 15 to 20 minutes, followed by 10 minutes of Q&A. The mic is yours.
These are the most relevant data on our study. We have 8 cooperating pathologists, physicians, biologists, and they are internationally from Germany and other European countries, and also some outside of Europe. So by now we have 30 autopsies and 3 biopsies from vaccinated persons. 15 cases have been evaluated in the step one, that is routine histology. 3 cases are in step two, advanced methods. I will explain what I mean by this. And just to give you a rough impression, it's 7 men, 8 women, 28 years to 95 years, death 7 days to 6 months after the last injection, and vaccination, the typical vaccinations that are used in Germany. So one important fact is that most of these persons that we examined have not died in the hospital, but at home on the street in the car. And that is very important, because in these cases, we can exclude that there are interference with therapeutical measures like artificial respiration and things like that. So only 4 were in intensive care medicine before they died. We had 15 cases with autopsy elsewhere, which we examined in step one. And all these 15 cases were classified by the pathologists or legal medical persons who made the autopsy as natural and unclear. And the relatives insisted on a second opinion, and we in Reutlingen, our group, looked at the specimens of the organs that were taken. Our follow-up gave very probable correlation with the vaccination in 5 cases, probable in 7, unclear possible in 2, and no connections with only minimal changes we saw in 1 case. So what were the organs where we saw lesions, the target organs and the main lesions? In the first place, vascular lesions, not only to the small vessels, the endothelium, but also to the vessel walls, to the muscular and elastic wall components. In 5 cases, we found unidentified intravascular material that might stem from the vaccination material. Then spleen and lymph nodes had changes, heart, lung, brain, and finally a phenomenon that we called lymphocyte amok. That means that we found aggregations and nodular infiltration of lymphoid tissues in organs in tissues that are non-lymphatic. So what are our methods? First of all, routine histological preparation with conventional stain, and then immunohistochemistry, first standard markers for lymphocytes, inflammatory cells, but mostly, and this is one of the aims of this study too, we try to demonstrate the spike protein in the organs and tissues that were damaged. And first of all, of course, we examined the specificity of our antibody to a spike protein, and we did this in cell cultures, and you can see here negative control, positive control, and here a larger magnification. So it seems to have a very high specificity for this spike protein. And I will just show you a few examples of the tissue damage that I have listed before. So here you can see a normal small vessel, and you can see the endothelium that is like a wallpaper and very small elongated spindle cell nuclei. And here in one of the cases, you can see that the endothelium is in the lumen and it is intermixed with lymphocytes and erythrocytes, and the nuclei are swollen. So in some cases, the small vessels even are completely destroyed by inflammatory infiltrates, mostly lymphocytes. And this proves to me that it is an intravital reaction and not an autolytic phenomenon caused by degradation after death. So we did the spike protein immunohistochemistry on these cases, and we see, you see here a very marked and specific mark of the endothelium in these patients, and not only in the small vessels, but also in the smaller arteries. You can see it in the inner part of the vessel, and you can see here desquamated endothelial cells. So not, as I said, not only the small vessels were affected, but also the aorta and larger arteries. And two cases have died of a ruptured artery. And actually, we found arteriosclerotic changes, but as you see here, it's not very pronounced. But you can see inflammatory changes around in the deep layers of this aorta, and also you can see some disturbance of structure of the smooth muscle and the elastic fibers. And if you have a higher magnification, you can see these small areas where the elastic fibers and the smooth muscles are destroyed, and again, lymphocytic infiltration, proving that it was an intravital process. And here another case, we found it in five cases, so this cannot be a coincidence. And we did the spike protein, and you find a marked positive expression of spike protein in the myofibroblasts of the arterial wall. This is the aorta. And also in the vasa vasorum, you can see very strong expression of spike protein in these areas. And this, I think, it's a very important finding. So how often did we see this vasculitis, this endovasculitis, or some call it endothelitis, in 11 cases with focal lymphocytic infiltration, then vasculitis, perivasculitis in 10 cases, focal media necrosis in 6 cases, and thrombosis caused on this area in 2 cases. So similar lesions are caused by toxins and drugs, cytostatic drugs, and in some food poisoning like lathorism. And so we think also here a toxic element, the spike protein, might be the causative agent. Now, other lesions that we saw in the spleen, we first overlooked, but the more we looked, the more we found it. And this is one phenomenon that is known as onion skin arteriolitis of the spleen, which is seen in some autoimmune diseases like lupus erythematosus. And in the course of these arteriolitis, we saw focal destruction of follicular arteries in the spleen and prolapse of the lymphatic follicles. Now, first of all, this picture is an overview of two organs in one paraffin block. You can see here the liver and here the spleen. And so both organs have the same preparation, the same fixation and everything. So you can see easily that the liver is practically non-reactive. You can see some small vessels. The epithelium is positive, but the liver itself is negative. And then in contradiction, the spleen has a very pronounced mark around the vessels and small arterioles. This is a liver now, and you can see the liver cells itself are negative, but the small vessels, the capillaries, have a strong positive reaction of the endothelium. And this is this reaction that is called the onion skin phenomenon, which is seen in some autoimmune diseases. You can see the wall of the artery is split up in a way. And also here we can show, as we saw on the overview, that there's a strong reaction for the spike protein. And this is a phenomenon that none of the pathologists that I work together has ever seen. This is a small follicular artery in the spleen, and you can see the wall has a focal defect and the lymphatic tissue is protruding into the vessel. So also changes in the lymph nodes. We have seen a case of a pseudolymphoma, as I can show you here. It's at least 3 centimeters large. And then in another case, we saw a focal central infarct of the lymph nodes. Now, the myocarditis now, I think, is internationally known that it is a side effect of vaccination. And you can see that in our cases, we saw these lymphocytes marching up in the small vessels. Here you can see the intact muscular fibers. And in this case, you can see that they are destroyed by the lymphocytes that are infiltrating, in contradiction to the infarction, to the true infarct of the cardiac muscles. You do not see granulocytes in these areas, only very few, and some macrophages, of course. So we come to the lung. Here you see a normal lung. You can see all the white areas are the lung alveoli. And what we found are very pronounced changes in which you might call a lymphocytic alveolitis or lymphocytic interstitial pneumonia. And you can see there are only very few areas where there are still air-filled alveoli, and these are, the infiltration is mostly T lymphocytes, CD3 positive. Very important are the changes that we found in the brain. We found in transfection-associated encephalitis, then lymphocytic infiltration and focal destruction of intracerebral and arachnoidal blood vessels, subarachnoidal hemorrhage without an aneurysm in young people, focal lymphocytic infiltrations also in the dura mater, and in one case, necrosis of the partial necrosis of the hypophysis. Now, this just for those that are not familiar, this is dura mater, and here we found infiltration by lymphocytes. This is the arachnoidea, where we found perivascular inflammation, and we also found it in the brain. This is a dura mater. You can see this focal infiltration by lymphocytes. This young 26-year-old died of hemorrhage, no aneurysm. And you can see that the vessels in the brain and in the arachnoidea have a focal lymphocytic infiltration. And probably there was a rupture here also, infiltration by lymphocytes. And this is the case of the encephalitis, which we observed. And In this case, we could demonstrate the spike protein again in the small vessels, and here a small artery, here very pronounced positive reaction. Another area where you can see this definitely and very clear positive cells. It's mostly in the small vessels, but also in some neural cells. And now a phenomenon that we call the lymphocyte AMAP, which is a lymphocyte accumulation in lymphocyte predominant tissue destruction outside of the myocardium and the lung, where I already demonstrated is. It's definitely the danger of a prolonged autoimmune disease. And this we found in non-lymphatic organs and tissues. There are some autoimmune diseases which related to this phenomenon. And this is in the lung. In the lung, sometimes you find a small lymphocytic elements, but I have never seen before so quasi a lymph node with reaction centers and activation. And this is the frequency that we found these lymphocytic infiltrations, the thyroid glands, the salivary glands. And by the way, of course, we found this in two cases, but we only had these organ specimens in two cases. So it was found in 100% of the cases that we examined. So in the aorta, I showed you before, skin, liver, kidney, lymphocytic pyelonephritis, nephritis in the testis in one case, and in the dura, I showed you this phenomenon. So these are the organ changes, and just as a last lesions that I would like to show you is unidentified foreign material in the vessels, especially in the spleen vessels. And this is something that we could not identify. No pathologist that had looked at it knows what it is. First, we saw these cells, but they have an inner structure like feather-like. And then we thought it might have been contrast material, but this patient died at home and was not in the hospital for a long time. So our theory is that these are the nanolipid particles, which when they come into the body and are warmed up, which coalesce and form larger particles that might at one point stick in the system, in the vessel system. And this was one case in the spleen, and this is another. This one was only a few days, and this is after some longer period of time. I might add that this is a coincidental finding because this was not macroscopically seen, but we had it by coincidence in our sections. I will show you a case report of a natural death uncovered as caused by vaccination-induced vasculitis of the coronary artery. It was a 50-year-old man, two vaccinations, and he died 123 days after the second vaccination. And there was no doubt this was a myocardial infarct. The primary autopsy was in context with this, they saw a discoloration of the cardial muscle and said, well, yes, he died of a myocardial infarct. But then we did histology of the coronary artery, and we found these changes. And in addition, in the muscle, we found a myocarditis, as we found typically in the other cases, as I have shown. Now, this is the coronary artery, and yes, you see, it's clearly there is a thrombus formation inside. And yes, there are arteriosclerotic changes. But look at these areas. And here around the vessel, there's definitely an inflammatory reaction. And you can see these disturbance of texture of the smooth muscle and the myofibroblasts here. And you can see also some discrete lymphocytic infiltration. And then around the vessel, there's this dense lymphocytic infiltrations. So we concluded that the vessel, the coronary artery, had an inflammation induced by the vaccination by the spike protein, and the thrombus was built on the ground of these inflammatory changes and led to the infarct, which definitely was present, but also the fact that there was concomitant myocarditis is for us very strong evidence that this secondary cause of the vaccination. And for many, we spent many hours looking at all these slides. And for a long time, we were thinking, well, we are chasing a phantom. This, and we looked at each other and asked each other, do you see this? Do you see this? Is this real? And we are now at a point, and especially after we could prove the presence of spike protein 4 months after vaccination, we are come to the conclusion, no, we are not chasing a phantom, and further studies are necessary. And I think it's a very exciting field that we are coming to, but also a very depressing and very scaring phenomenon. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Arne Burkhardt, for your incredible contribution to health science and humanity. We are slightly over time, but I believe everyone is really appreciating this conference on causation. So I'm going to ask my colleague, Mark Trozzi, to take two questions for the professor before we hand the mic over to Dr. Ryan Cole, who will be talking to us about the proof is in the blood, causation in pathology. Mark?
Thanks, Shabman. Thanks very much, Dr. Burkhardt. I'll be brief in my admiration and thanks to you, but I could go to great length in that. But thank you for showing us in unquestionable terms what is seen through the microscope and what has been happening to our fellow humans who have been given these injections. So I'm going to pick two questions. One is very sweet, and it's an anonymous attendee who says, Professor Burkhardt, do I understand that you came out of retirement to help us, the people of the world in need?
Well, actually, I was just retiring a few months before I started this study. I gave back my license for the health insurance in April last year, and in May, I was contacted and they asked me if I would do this study. And I, by the way, I also have some consulting contracts with some other laboratories. So I'm not retired in the way that I'm not active anymore, but I'm retired in the sense that I am not responsible to anybody and that I cannot be thrown out of my job. I'm independent. Okay.
Thank you very much from all of us present and otherwise. One other question comes from Jacko Venzil. By the way, Dr. Burkhardt, I hope you have a time after to look through some great questions. A lot of people keen to ask a question. Please forgive me those that I was not able to get to, but this person is asking about toxicology tests. What type of tests on body fluids should a forensic toxicology laboratory do to prove death due to vaccines? Histology is usually requested by pathologists, and clinical lab tests will test for troponin in living people, usually, but this is not done in forensic toxicology laboratories. So I think in summary, for people that don't have access to histology and autopsy, do you see there being laboratory tests to help prove causation?
Well, I'm a pathologist and I'm not doing laboratory tests on blood or serum or anything, but if there are any lesions, I recommend to take a biopsy. And if there are lesions found in the microscope, to do immunohistochemistry in the future. So maybe Ryan Cole can answer this better than I.
You've brought forth a powerful point that there's no replacement for the histology and proper staining. So thanks for your leadership.
Thank you, Professor Arne Burkhardt. We are grateful for your time and your commitment, and we look forward to you perhaps spending more time with us in Understanding Vaccine Causation Conference number 2. Thank you very much for joining us from Germany.